Yom Kippur is an extremely special day. It's the day of the second Luchos being given, the second tablets of stone being given, of commandments being given, which is Matan Torah, second Matan Torah, second giving of the Torah, which also coincides with the Yom Kippur of the building of the Beis HaMikdash, when Shlomo Melech built the Beis HaMikdash in those 7 days. Yom Kippur was one of the days of the inauguration of the building of the Beis HaMikdash. But you see from this, Yom Kippur, right? This is Yom Kippur. So the point is Yom Kippur is a tremendously joyous day. B, it's the day of the giving of the Torah. Now, that's not a new idea. I think everyone is familiar with that. It's the day that the second tablets were given, right? After the Chet Egel and Moshe broke the first tablets, and then he went up to the mountain, and then he davened, and then they were forgiven the 40 days, the last 40 days of the forgiveness of the Jewish people corresponds to Rosh Chodesh Elul, culminating Yom Kippur. So when he came down with the second tablets, that was Yom Kippur. That's the historical backdrop of Yom Kippur. That's where it comes from, historically, of the day that Moshe came down with the second tablets. So it was another day of Matan Torah, the second giving of the Torah. But it's also, maybe less familiar, it's also the same day, or the day which marks the inauguration of the Beis HaMikdash in the times of Shlomo HaMelech. So this is what the Mishnah says. So this quote which I was listening to this morning, Ulis Ephraim, Kliyoker actually, he wrote the Sefer Kliyoker on the Chumash as well. So he's pondering exactly, you know, what is this, you know, what's the association and what is the connection, what's this intrinsic connection with the Beis HaMikdash, the building of the Beis HaMikdash and Yom Kippur. And Yom Kippur as the day that the Torah was given, the second tablets were given. What exactly is this connection? How do we appreciate the connection? So the thing is that, you know, we don't have the Beis HaMikdash today. And the Luchos were broken a long time ago. We don't have any of this. It's all lost. But of course, we have Yom Kippur. And Yom Kippur we have, and everyone has an experience of Yom Kippur. We're living, going through Yom Kippur. And it's something which is accessible to every single one of us, but particularly in the same way that it happened over here with Moshe Rabbeinu. Because, you know, what happened? He broke the first Luchos, and then the second Luchos were brought down on Yom Kippur. What are the Luchos? What are the tablets? They were the Ten Commandments. So what kind of connection do we have to those tablets? What is the connection that we have to those tablets? Where is the connection? The answer is, Kosveim aluchos libam. Write them upon the tablets of your heart. This is a very famous pasuk. Write the words of Torah upon the tablets of your heart. We have luchos. We have luchos inside of our heart, inside of ourselves. Our heart is the two chambers of the heart are the luchos of the tablets. They are the tablets upon which the Ten Commandments were written, which means, therefore, that the Ten Commandments, the Torah, is engraved inside of our heart. It's engraved inside our heart. It's in the neshama. This really goes back to what we were discussing last week about Rosh Hashanah, that the intrinsic purity of the neshama has everything inside of it. So the lucha, the aseres and dibros, the Ten Commandments, the Torah, is intrinsically inside the heart. It's inside the lev. But what happens? What happens is all of the averas and all of the behaviors and all of the things which we do create a masach hamavdil, like a barrier, separation from being able to connect to the purity of the heart. The external behaviors create a barrier to be able to access the purity of the heart. But what did Moshe do? What did Moshe do? It's very interesting. What did Moshe do? Right? When he broke the luchos, when he broke the first luchos, it's a question. Like, how could he have done that? This is the handiwork of Hashem. Hashem made these luchos. He put his words upon the luchos, and then Moshe Rabbeinu comes along and he breaks those luchos. What right does he have to do that? I mean, was he commanded to do it? So it's a discussion. But one appreciation of it is that sometimes when averas become a barrier to those words upon the luchos, so then the only solution then is you've got to break the luchos. You've got to break your heart. You've got to have a broken heart, right? The luchos, the breaking of the luchos, is symbolic of the breaking of our hearts. And Moshe did that in order to, because he realized that the only way that the Jewish people and we, in every generation, we're able to be able to access the words upon the Luchos, to be able to access the words of Torah, to access Hashem's word, we have to break our hearts. We have to have a lev nishbar, as it's described, the passing of the Tehillim. There's got to be a broken heart. We were learning, you know, this is something which again goes back to, always goes to the Shari Teshuvah we're learning on Sunday morning. That's one of the ikrim, one of the principles of Teshuvah, is a broken heart, to have a sense of kniya, of humility, of breaking our own hearts and breaking the attachment to our desires and the attachment to all of the things which take us away from an appreciation and a connection to Hashem. But humility is really the essential term of it, is a broken heart. So in the same way that Moshe broke the luchos, the key is for us to be able to break our luchos as well and break our hearts in order to enter into Yom Kippur, to be able to receive the second tablets again. And that was his preamble. That was the preamble to receiving the second luchos, is the breaking of the heart. The Aveira, the particular Aveira that the Jewish people committed, which was that barrier, which created the barrier and the inaccessibility to the Ten Commandments, the Aseret HaDibros, the words of Torah, what was the Aveira? The Egel, the Cheta Egel, the golden calf. So the Gemara says that the Egel, the golden calf, Egel, right, are the letters of Ayin, which is Arayus, immorality. Sexual immorality, essentially. Ayin is for that. That's that. Gimel is Gezel, is stealing, right? And Lamed is Lashon Hara. So these are physical, these are activity, these are action-related Averis. It popped into my head as I was saying it. Perhaps, Ayin is desire. That corresponds, the Ayin, Arayus, immorality, corresponds to Taiva, to desire, right? In that formula three. Gezel is theft, right? Because why do we steal? Because we're jealous. We're jealous of another person. So jealousy leads to stealing. And stealing doesn't have to be outright stealing. It's taking things which don't belong to you in any small way as well. And then Lamed is Lashon Hara. Now, it's interesting because if you think about Lashon Hara, the ability to speak Lashon Hara kind of depends upon a sense of arrogance. When a person has arrogance and a sense of ego, they feel the right to be able to speak Lashon Hara about other people. But these three sins, right, are all, you know, symbolized, or they are condensed, so to speak, in the word egel. These are the three sins. So these are the, and when you think about, you know, kinetive and covered, you know, a little more subtle types of traits. But when it comes to arayus and morality, the types of things which people do on an immoral level, the things they look at, the things they do, and the gezel, the things they steal, the things they take from other people, and certainly the lashon hara, these are averus which are so abound and so just in our faces. We're doing them all the time, but these are the barriers with the barriers which prevent the words of the luchos being accessed. And if Moshe Rabbeinu took the luchos and broke the luchos in order to be able to break away the barriers which the eagle caused. So then, likewise for us, our mission is to break away those three averas. And then I'm just adding, there's also the kina, netiva, and kavod, to be able to access the words of Torah which are intrinsically inside the heart. But it's all about breaking the heart. It's about lev nishba, a broken heart, to then be able to say on Yom Kippur, lev tahor bara li Elokim, please create for me a brand new heart. This is the, you know, these are the thoughts, these are the types of light which we have to be tapping into as we approach Yom Kippur. Is this is what's happening? A new heart is being created. We are being given opportunity to be able to create a new heart by breaking the barriers. So Rosh Hashanah was meeting the king. Rosh Hashanah was the Melech, was meeting the king. And last week I spoke about the idea of gazing at the neshama, of looking at the power of the neshama, which is at one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But still, even with seeing the greatness of the neshama, there's still the barriers. Yet Rosh Hashanah doesn't take care of the impurities and then the sulliness which the averas create. Right? That's what we've been learning again in Shari Teshuvah. We've got to get rid of the external barriers. So even if I am able to gaze at and appreciate the power of the neshama, and how the neshama is a spark of godliness within myself, but there's still the interference, the static. There's static around which is preventing the neshama from really shining brilliantly. That's the purpose of Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is now taking away the outer barriers which are preventing the neshama from being able to really radiate its light in the fullest sense. So even if I've gotten to know my neshama, I know what I have, I know my potential, and I know what I want to be able to connect to. I know all of this. I know Hashem. I see Hashem. I was given the an experience of the Melech on Rosh Hashanah, and I know the power inside of myself. But there's still, you know, there's still things. There's unfinished business of clearing away the barriers, which is Yom Kippur, is clearing away those barriers to allow to break the heart of the desires, and to go through a Yom Kippur, going through the catharsis of the breaking of those things. You know, it's a challenging day. There's no question it's a challenging day. I was thinking to myself that, again, to reference the Shari Teshuvah, the Shari Teshuvah says, we've learned this many times, that there are three basic components of Teshuvah, which is regret, forsaking the sin, and vidui, and confession. So that's the basic formula of Teshuvah, and that satisfies Teshuvah. But the Rabbeinu Yonah says, in the beginning, and we learned this several weeks ago, he says that even though that's the basics of Teshuvah, however, he says there are many madregas to Teshuvah. There are still many, many levels of Teshuvah. L'fi madregas, and corresponding to the different levels of Teshuvah, yiskarav ha'adam l'kodesh baruch, then a person comes ever closer to Hashem. So even though I could fulfill the three basic requirements, but the more I do, the closer I become to Hashem. But on the lokal teshuva to matzatichon, any step of teshuva you take, there's always forgiveness. There's always forgiveness. Any step in teshuva, anytime you regret, anytime you make a commitment, anytime you say a word of vidui, any step of teshuva, there's always going to be some type of slicha. Ach lo tita hanefesh to hasholem. However, the soul is not purified completely. Lias avonus kolo yahayo, as though the sins are no longer there. Zulasi kashita, except when a person purifies his heart completely and he prepares his spirit, as will be explained. So essentially he's saying that there are two dimensions, or two missions. One is teshuva and one is tyra, one is purity. The truth is, actually, the commandment of teshuva of Yom Kippur, the way the Torah describes the commandment of teshuva of Yom Kippur, is not with the word teshuva. It doesn't say do teshuva on Yom Kippur. It says do vidui. When the Torah says do vidui, the only time the Torah says do vidui, do confession, is actually not referring to Yom Kippur. It's referring to just sin offerings in general. When a person brings a sin offering, it says, and do confession over the sin offering. The only time it says vidui, confession, with respect to Yom Kippur, is that the Kohen Gadol would do the confession for himself, for his family, and the whole of the Jewish people. We learn also that everyone has to do vidui, but the actual explicit commandment of either teshuva or vidui is not stated anywhere with respect to Yom Kippur. What it does say is this, is lifnei Hashem titaro, before Hashem purify yourself. Because that's the mandate, the instruction of Yom Kippur is purify yourself before Hashem. Purify yourself, Hashem. This maps to this over here, that the purification is a level beyond regular teshuva. Purification is a fulfillment of all these different steps of teshuva. So we've been learning, you know, this is a demanding journey, the first 20 steps of teshuva. However, I just want to suggest that there's one day of the year when really I think everyone can feel that sense of connection to these 20 steps. I think what I'm going to do actually on Sunday, and those who don't come to my Sunday morning class, I found a summary of the 20 steps of teshuva. In a nice, it's written up very nicely. I'm going to send this out to everyone because I think that if there's one day of the year that we can really resonate with the 20 steps, with these additional levels, which facilitates Tahara purification, it's Yom Kippur, right? So one of those steps, again, is Kaniyah, is humility, is a broken heart. So when you think about a broken heart, you know, a nice summer's day when you're sitting on the beach, you're not thinking about a broken heart, right? When you're dancing around on Purim or on Simchas Torah, you're not thinking about a broken heart. So it's hard to think about a broken heart on any other day of the year. There's one day of the year we can really relate and resonate with a broken heart. That's Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is the broken heart. It's a broken heart together with the with tefillah. We learned tefillah on last Sunday about pouring our heart out to Hashem. Please, Hashem, Hashiveinu, Avinu L'Sra Selcha, please bring us back to your Torah. By the way, just I don't know if I said this a few weeks ago. I think that I said the words Hashiveinu, Avinu L'Sra Selcha, V'Karavinu Malkeinu L'Vasecha. That's the third. That's the fourth. The fifth bracha of the Shemoneh Esrei. Mm-hmm. Bring us back. Bring us back. Bring us back. Bring us back. We have to implore Hashem every day, bring us back, help me to do teshuvah, help me to do teshuvah. That's one of the, again, the ikrim of teshuvah. Please, Hashem, help me to do teshuvah. I pointed that that in all the different nuschayas, the different versions of Sephard and Chabad and Nusach Ari and Ashkenaz, all the different versions of the of Sidurim, right? There's one brach which is identical to all the with all the nuschayas. There's one bracha which is identical for all of the different customs, and that's this bracha of Hashiveinu Avinu L'Sra Selcha. That's something which every single Jew shares alike, identically, that we all... Okay, fine. We all share the same... Can you please come to the time? We all share the same idea of teshuvah. That's something which is uniform, which is universal for everyone. But that's we can relate to that as well on Yom Kippur. You know, breaking our desires, that's one of the principles of teshuvah, to break our desire. Well, obviously, on Yom Kippur, we're not eating, we're not engaging in any kind of physical desires. So all of the ikrim of teshuvah are so alive on Yom Kippur. They're all alive on Yom Kippur as we're going through this process of breaking the heart, of breaking the luchos, to be able to create a brand new set of luchos inside of us. To create a brand new heart, to be able to create that brand new heart, which is now free and completely immune of any impurity. And that's the problem. This is fundamental and essential that Yom Kippur is a day of purity. We just have to do a little bit of teshuvah. The truth is, don't take this practically because we don't paskin this way. There are opinions that say that Yom Kippur atones and purifies even without teshuvah. But that's not how we rule. It was an opinion in the Gemara that way. But the power of Yom Kippur is it takes away that exterior shell. It takes away the exterior shell. With a little bit of teshuvah and feeling those sentiments that we're describing, then it takes away, breaks away, and it causes the heart to break, to melt, to dissolve, and then be recreated as a brand new heart once again, as a Lev Tahor. And also, the Medrash says, that it was evening, it was morning, Yom Echad, one day, not the first day, the subsequent days, it says, the second day, the third day, the fourth day, etc. The first day of creation, it says, it was evening, it was morning, Yom Echad, one day, says the Medrash, Zeh Yom Kippur, this is referring to Yom Kippur. It's Yom Kippur. Ki Echad Mora ala Mokam Azeh, because the word Echad, one, alludes to this place, where there's only unity. It's only unity. There's no division. There's no division. It's interesting. He writes over here, this is from the Kedal Yashor. He says that the word Rishon means first, right? Whereas the word Echad means one. So first is already a division. It's already a separation from one, right? One is unity. One is one. And then Rishon first is already now a separation. We don't call it the first day because that already implies it's the first to a second to a third, etc. But one represents absolute unity. Absolute unity because on Yom Kippur, it's only unity. Unity with what? It's the unity of Hashem. It's the absolute unity, the revelation of the unity of Hashem. That's why it's the one day of the year that the Kohen Gadol can go into the Kodesh Kodashim, a place of unity. A place of absolute profound connection with Hashem. Five levels of the soul, right? There are five levels of the soul. And the highest level of the soul is the Yechidah. The Yechidah, which is the unified one, the alone one, the one and only one. It's the part of the soul which is so fundamentally connected to Hashem. And this is the power of Yom Kippur to be able to tap into that, to that highest level of the soul, of the Yechidah level of the soul. But going into the Kodesh Kodashim, I'm reading what he says here. He says, we have this opportunity. You know, that's the Kohen Gadol in Yom Kippur. But everybody, Adai Nisha Adova Azeh Kaim B'Benimus, this is potentially available to all of us, to every single Jew. It says in the Sfarim that there are 10 There are 10 depths to the heart. There are 10 depths to the heart. There are 10 like layers or depths to the heart. And these 10 depths correspond to the 10 levels of Kedusha which surround the Holy of Holies in the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash, the Holy of Holies, is the holiest place of unity with Hashem, where the tablets of the second tablets are there as well, and the first ones are there as well, the broken ones, and the Aron, etc. But there are 10 levels of Kedusha. The highest level is the Kodesh Kedoshim. But there are 10 levels. The Mishnah discusses there are 10 stages, 10 phases of Kedusha, sanctity, descending levels of sanctity as you go further away from the Kodesh Kedoshim, from the Holy of Holies. But the Holy of Holies but there are 10 altogether. And these 10 days, starting the other day, Rosh Hashanah, is corresponding to these 10 days of going deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. It's also actually, if you want to pull out your book, Talmud, which we learned a few months ago, there are some have the custom of reading a chapter of that, because there are 10 chapters in that sefer. So to read one chapter per day of the Aseret Yemei Teshuvah, 10 days of repentance. But we're going through this process. We're going closer and closer, inward, 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 into the Kodesh Kedoshim. And these 10 days, a person needs to go inside those depths of his heart, to go deeper inside the heart, to open up the heart, to be able to essentially break away the barriers, break away the sins, the averas, the different impurities, the things. And taking one thing, even doing one thing, is a tremendous thing of a process of breaking away. Actually, Yom Kippur, until on Yom Kippur, the person gets this really deep place which corresponds to Kodesh Kedoshim. And the Arizal says this is why the minig is, the custom is to say, in the 10 days, we just said it this morning, every day, Mimamakim Karasicha Hashem, from the depths I call out to Hashem. We say that capital of Tehillim between Pesukei Dezimra and the Birkas Krishma. We say that capital, from the depths I call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from the depths of my heart, Kakavonu Leila Munkim, because it's corresponding to these depths which are inside the heart of a person. Ubiyomez on this day of Yom Kippur, Ashahusa Masa Mabdul, this separation melts away. For calling this Astirus Sheesh Basha Yemos Hashanah, and all of the contradictions and the barriers which exist on other days of the year, they're no longer there. They're no longer there. Yesh B'yacholus Adon, there is a potential on this day to fully circumcise the heart. Likonis L'Omer Kazeb B'Liba, to go into that, inside this very, very precious, holy place inside the heart. I want to say practically, I know many people always bring up the question, but I know I'm going to do this, I know I'm going to do that. I say this every year, don't let your mind go there. Don't bring your mind to tomorrow. It's a very practical piece of advice. On Yom Kippur, don't allow your mind to think about tomorrow. Think about right now and think about what you want. Think about the heart. Think about what you truly want inside of your heart. Don't allow the interferences and the static and all of the messages. You know, let the messages of these Sfarim, of these Torah ideas, be the only message inside your heart. Let the messages of the Chazal, of the Rabbis, of the Sfarim, and all of these ideas, let this be the message. Try to align those ideas with your heart to say, that's what I want, this is what I really want. You know, we are where we are because of many, many years of experiences and different, you know, interactions and experiences of our lives. That's true. That's a separate thing. But the heart, what you really want, is what we want to get to get to that, the inner pnimius of the lave, the pnimius of the heart. What do I really want? What do I really want? Those thoughts of what I really want, and those thoughts of trying to break and just to eliminate and to separate out the static of the external forces which influence what I really want, getting to that place is going to the depth of that's being in the Holy of Holies on Yom Kippur. And that's, you know, everyone can do that. We can all do that. We can all do that. As long as we don't allow our thoughts to linger upon tomorrow. Now, we can think, we can allow our thoughts to linger upon this Avera and this sin and this Avera. Yeah, because they're the barriers. They're the things which are separating me. And I don't want that. I don't want this. I don't want the Lashon Hara. I don't want to eat this. I don't want to do this. I don't want to break Shabbos. I don't want to do any of this. I don't want it. I want this all away. I really do. I really want it all away. I don't want this to interfere with my achdus, my unification, my unity with Hashem. I want my heart to be pure, brand new. Also, we say, you know, belavavi mishkan evna. I want to create inside of my heart a mishkan, a tabernacle of Hashem inside my heart. That's what I really want. So in Yom Kippur, this is the potential. This depth inside the heart is the nekuda tahara, is this pure, unadulterated point. Asher b'chol eish Yisrael, which lives inside of every single yid. Asher eina nifgam. It's not sullied. It's not sullied al yidei chet through sin. That purity, that's a fundamental idea. The pure neshama inside is unsullied. It's impossible to be sullied. You can't affect the neshama. The neshama is impervious to sin. Avera, sin, chet. These are, again, all external things. They're all static, which interfere with the ability for the neshama to be able to connect. Eina nifkam al yidei chet v'sha'aleha amach the chidush arim wrote, Sheesh Nakuda Bahalish Yisrael, there is a Nakuda, there is a pure point inside the heart of every single Jew, Ma'avram Avinu, from Avram Avinu, She'ena Never, which is never lost. There's a purity, there's a pure kernel inside of us which is never lost. And that's why we say Magen Avram at the end of the first Baruch of Shemoneh Esrei, that Hashem preserves Avram inside of us. There's a preservation of the Avram in all of us. When we end the first Baruch of Shemoneh Esrei, meditate on that idea. He's Magen Avraham. He's preserving the Avraham Avinu inside of me. I'm still there. I'm still there, no matter how far away I may have gone. I'm still there. Shakadosh Baruch Hu Shem is a Nakuda. That Hashem guards this Nakuda of Avraham Avinu, which is inside the heart of every single one. For Kamosha Kanisis Kohen Gadol, and in the same way that the Kohen Gadol went into the Kodesh Kadashim on Yom Kippur, required 7 days of separation beforehand. So also to prepare himself for that day, Kain Kol Echom Ibnei Yisrael, so also every single person should prepare himself in the days coming up to Yom Kippur, Shiiska B'Yom Kippurim, to merit on Yom Kippur, Legalos Omer Kazeh, to be able to reveal this depth inside the heart, the Shebeli, which is inside the heart. This is what's happened. So now we can appreciate what the Mishnah says now. So Yom Kippur is the day of the second Luchos. It's the day of the Torah being given. Because now the broken luchos, the broken heart, or the heart which has become sullied, is now broken, and now creating a brand new heart. But it's also the day of the chasunoso of the Beis Hamikdash. It's the day of the building of the Beis Hamikdash. What do you mean the building of the Beis? The building of my Beis Hamikdash. Right? The building of my Beis Hamikdash. This day is the building of my own personal Beis Hamikdash inside of my heart. And there's no other day like it. There's no other, this is the culmination of the whole Yom Narayim. I was thinking this morning that, yes, Yom Narayim, days of awe, days of fear. We spoke about this, days of fear. We said this last week, that we can't escape the reality that Rosh Hashanah is a day of Mishpat, day of judgment. Although there's a day of kindness as well. We celebrate, we have a suit, etc. But it's primarily Yom Yira, day of Yira. Yom Kippur is also part of that as well. But if you think about it, what's really happening, if you really pay attention to what's going on in these days. Again, we experience this revelation of Rosh Hashanah, of the Melech. Hopefully, there was a more visceral experience, more visceral awareness that there's a Melech running this world, that the Kodesh Baruch is running this world. He's in charge of life. He's here in the world. I have a relationship with him. I have a neshama. There's a synergy between the two of us, but there's still things I need to clear away. There's still unfinished business. There's teshuvah I need to do. There's mistakes I need to rectify. There are commitments I need to make. There's the whole process of the Aseres Mei Teshuvah, the 10 days of repentance. Then we go into Yom Kippur. And if we follow the advice of the Rabbeinu Yonah, that to make Yom Kippur not just a day of teshuvah, but to make it a day of tahara, to try to tap into the 20 steps of teshuvah as well, to really go through a little more of a stronger cathartic process of clearing away the external barriers, ecstatic, breaking the heart, rebuilding a new heart, it's still a day of Yira. But if you think about it, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable, right? It's a day of Yira. Yeah, you start the day off, Kol Nidre, it's very solemn, and the Yugel Midas Arachamim, it's shrouded with seriousness and Yira, right? And then you travel through the day, and it's hard, fasting, travel through the day, and all of a sudden, Towards the end of the day, it's almost like you hear like there's some sounds, some different sounds which are which are coming in from a distance as we get, as we approach Ne'ilah. And it's very intense. Ne'ilah is very intense. You really, it's the last opportunity to do vidui. And then you're doing the vidui, you're crying, you're pouring your heart out, you're going through all of this, the steps of teshuvah, the contriteness, the breaking, the commitments, the vidui, etc. And then the end of Yom Kippur comes, and then all of a sudden it's almost like this thundering noise gets louder and louder, and it gets louder towards the end of Ne'ilah, and everyone's saying Shema Yisrael 3 times, and Hashem Hu Elokim 7 times, and there's such a thunder, there's such a noise in the shul, and it's so filled with emotion. There are people crying, there are people focusing on what they're going to do, the teshuvah. There's such an emotion which is filling the entire shul. And it's just so visceral and so experienced. And all of a sudden, it just builds up and builds up. And then it reaches the point, the kind of the climax, Hashem Elokim. And all of a sudden, the shofar blows. And then we start, the Shana Haba Birushalayim, the Shana. It's the transition is so dramatic. From solemnness to seriousness to Yira to this explosion of joy. It's just a joyous, joyous time. You feel the sense, I did it. I went through this whole day of hard teshuvah, and I felt the emotions, and I did the teshuvah. And now it's, and the power of the day carries you through to purify the heart. I've got a brand new heart, a lev tahor bara li alakim. He's created for me a brand new heart. The levavin mishkan evna, I built for myself a mishkan, a tabernacle of Hashem inside my heart. And now I can just dance. And we dance, we just celebrate, we're singing, we're so happy. And we run from Yom Kippur to do what? To build a sukkah. It's unbelievable. The transition is so stark. It's so profound. It switches. It switches. What's really happening is it's not a stark transition. It's building up. We're building up. We're going from Rosh Hashanah. We're going through this process. And as Yom Kippur builds up through the day, we are moving closer and closer to this moment of absolute sheer joy, of celebration. And it's and that's when the send, it switches from days of Yura to days of Simcha, right? This is the Yom Narayim, really end with Yom Kippur, and right away go into days of Ava, of Simcha, of joy, which is Sukkot, and then culminating with Simcha's Torah. I mean, that's the ultimate culmination of everything, where we've now taken all this teshuvah, and we've gone through this journey of teshuva to then reach the climax, the ultimate climax, where we're literally dancing the entire day on Simchas Torah. We'll get to that in a few weeks from now. But this is, you know, it's tough, it's hard, but no pain, no gain, right? No pain, no gain, you know. And it's all leading towards this moment, this joyous moment of jubilation, of Tyra, purification, purity of Tyra, the Tyra Senefesh. So this is Yom Kippur. This is what we are working on. So the practical point is take one thing. That's, you know, certainly take one thing. What we do on Yom Kippur with all of these sentiments and emotions, I advise that we try to tap into that as much as possible. But at least take one thing. Take one, you know, one thing that you're going to make an absolute fundamental change in. There was a story which I heard. I think I said it last year as well. Rabbi Chaim Waxman, famous rav in New York. So he said that there was a when he was a boy, he lived in Borough Park. When he was living, they were building a sukkah, and the position of the sukkah was on a particular porch area, and it was difficult to make a shlak. A shlak is a waterproof covering over the sukkah, and they wanted to put a waterproof covering. You have these plastic sheets, but you got to attach it to the wall. If you don't attach it to the wall somewhere, then it blows off in the wind. So you got to make sure it's really attached. So the only way they could attach, there was one opportunity to knock a nail, a few nails, into another person's roof or another person's wall, and they asked permission from the neighbor, can we knock a nail into the wall over there, you know, so we can attach our shlak over there. So he said, okay, you can knock one nail in, one nail you can knock in. So they knocked, they made sure to get a really big nail, like this big, right? And they went and climbed up on the ladder, and they hammered the nail into the wall, and they attached the shlak. And it was on there. It didn't really, it still blew away. The rain still came in. But one thing is for sure, that shlak never moved. It never moved. It was fixed there. It was good. It was solidly fixed there. And the nail was there. And, you know, he when he saw that, when he was looking, he was pondering the nail, thinking about the nail, and thinking about how that symbolizes really teshuva. It's taking one nail. It's knocking one nail in the wall and making sure it never moves. You know, and if a person does this every single year, knocks in there. Now, sometimes what happens is, you know, sometimes it gets a bit kind of loose, but then you can suddenly tighten it the next year. But every year, every going into this time period, every year, knock another nail in. Knock one nail in and make sure that that nail never leaves your life, right? So may we all be zocha to the purity of Yom Kippur, the Torah that, again, we've become familiar with on the Shaman Rosh Hashanah. We become familiar with Hashem as the Melech on Rosh Hashanah, but there's still, you know, there's still static, there's still interference, which have to be removed, and that's the purity of Yom Kippur, to clear away the external. And again, to realize the external is not who we are. That's not who we are. It's the Neshama, which is who we are. That's the bigger. That's the real who's. That's the real self, and that's the rebuilding of the heart within through breaking the heart and rebuilding a brand new heart. Like the second luchos, and that's why Yom Kippur is a day of the giving of the Torah. It's a day of the building of the Beis Hamikdash and having a Beis Hamikdash in our lives. So may we all be zocha to that on Yom Kippur.